Welcome to the Think Possible podcast. At National Learning Network, we are on a mission to change the conversation around inclusive, supported education and level the playing field for those who need a little more support to reach their educational, career, and personal goals. Welcome back to another episode of the Think Possible podcast. This episode will focus on the increasing level of school avoidance happening across Ireland. We will first hear from NLN psychologist Jane Watson, who was kind enough to take some time out of her busy schedule to discuss the issue, along with possible tips, and why NLN is a fantastic option for alternative education for those who feel that traditional schooling is not for them. Later on in the episode, we will hear from Michael O'Phelan, a current NLN student who had left traditional education but found NLN and is now excelling in his studies and on his new career trajectory. As we will hear from Jane shortly, school avoidance is not a new phenomenon in Ireland. However, there has been an increase in prevalence since the COVID-19 pandemic. This is an increasing issue that many students, along with their parents and loved ones, are facing, but I will let Jane describe this in more detail. Jane Watson is a psychologist with National Learning Network. She has been with the organization for many years and has helped so many of our students achieve their educational and personal goals through her work. She has most recently dealt with many students who have come in after avoiding traditional schooling, and she, along with her colleagues, have worked with students to meet their needs through a holistic approach. Can you tell me a bit about your role with NLN and the supports our psychologists offer to students?
Sure, Stephanie. I suppose the biggest thing that the psychologists offer in NLN is that we carry out a holistic assessment of needs of every applicant that comes through our door. And I suppose that the major benefit and advantage of that is that we are looking at how is the young person or the older person, you know, socially, educationally, mental health wise, physical health wise, and then we're much better able to actually support them when they come on the programme. Then when they are actually in with us, I suppose when you're a student in NLN, you can have one-to-one support with the psychologists. Generally, that would be because we don't offer counselling because we're training in education, but it would be very much in the areas generally of how to manage anxiety, how to manage stress, maybe relationship difficulties, stressors at home. And then if the student thinks, actually, I need some counselling or I'm really struggling here, then we can refer them to external counselling. So that's another good plus. And then we do a lot of our work, we do a lot of group work, I suppose, with the students. So we would go into classrooms and maybe we would do a group around, you know, substance abuse and, you know, the dangers of that, or healthy lifestyles, how to have good sleep habits. So it's quite, yeah, it's a varied role in that you can work one-to-one, which is lovely, and then you can also work in groups. I suppose then it is also important to say that there is crisis management. So we would definitely have a role in that. If somebody becomes perhaps suicidal, if somebody has harmed themselves on site, then it would be the manager and the psychologist who kind of takes the lead on trying to look after the student then. So yeah, it's multifaceted.
Yeah, a very comprehensive overview. Thank you. So what are some of the common issues that students come to you with?
Yeah, I was thinking about this, and there really are common ones. One of the biggest, well, amongst our younger cohort of students, like our early school leavers who come to us, it is largely around difficulties with friendships, with relationships, cyberbullying, how to manage social media, poor sleep habits, gaming till, you know, whatever, right, 3, 4 a.m., not being able to get up to college. Mm-hmm. So that seems to, they're very much, that would be a real general common theme for our younger early school leavers on those programs. Then our older students, it's an awful lot of anxiety. I mean, a huge amount, and it's generalized anxiety. So that can be everything from somebody experiencing panic attacks, to health anxiety, to OCD, obsessive compulsive disorder. And then equally a whole other category nearly of social anxiety, because it's quite different. It's quite, I suppose, it's quite specific. It's not, it's quite different to general anxiety in that it tends to affect the students sitting, and it, that's what they find hard, being in the classroom with their peers. So they can really struggle with that. So often they will come and sit with me and we will look at, okay, what, you maybe you need to take a break every 20 minutes, or maybe you need to come in a little bit earlier so that you're not walking into a big group of people. It's, yeah, it's social anxiety, I suppose, is what we've, and we'll suppose we'll talk about that in a few moments, that it has a, is a huge factor in the school avoidance. But right. they're the main, equally, I suppose, Stephanie, they'll also come with family, a lot of family stressors, you know, be it just difficulties at home, maybe in a marriage, financial difficulties, maybe there is substance abuse at home. So actually it is quite, yeah, but they're the main themes, I suppose.
Yeah, and like you say, I think we'll touch on this again, but I'd say that a lot of those things do feed into the issue of school avoidance.
Absolutely.
Can you give a bit of background on what school avoidance is?
Okay, yes, school avoidance, and also, yeah, and it's also, I suppose, a lot of people term it a school refusal, and I think now people feel that is just, yeah, that's just not a nice way to describe it, because it actually, for, in the majority of cases, there is no, it's not that you're refusing, you act, the young person can't go to school.
Yeah.
I suppose, definitely, it's, yeah, it's really the person, the generally the young person, for whatever reason, is just not able to motivate or to get themselves out of bed in the morning, like we all took for granted. You get up, have your breakfast and go to school. You just can't do that, or that is just not possible. And I think when I was researching it for another piece of research a number of months ago, what, without a doubt, COVID, that pandemic played a huge, really exacerbated the problem. It was always there, but it was in much smaller numbers. And it was, whereas what happened in the lockdown, I suppose, A, for many young people, they realised actually school actually isn't that essential, actually, because I can just sit in my kitchen and I can have my class online. And so in a way, a lot of young people would say to us, well, if it was okay to shut down schools, well, then it's not that important. So actually, if I don't feel like going, that's okay, I'll catch up, I'll do some extra homework. So I suppose the mindset kind of shifted.
Right.
Also, I think what happened in COVID was people's anxiety. I mean, and everybody's anxiety did raise around our health of our older relations. And for a lot of young people, they were able to rationalize that and they were able to go back to school and understand, okay, we're, you know, the pandemic is largely gone. We're now returning to normality. But there was a significant, and I think we all underestimated that, anybody working in mental health underestimated the numbers of young people who weren't able, because like for, you know, even 6 months, you know, 12 months after normality had resumed, they would be saying to me, but no, I can't, like, it's not right for me. I can't stand too close. I shouldn't be in a classroom. So it was so hard for them to break. Yeah. To break that cycle. And the other thing I think, Stephanie, which happened was those young people who might have been linking in with a psychologist or the child and adolescent mental health services, those services all shut down. They weren't, they might have done them over online, but no young person really, it's too hard. It's hard enough talking about your feelings and your emotions, never mind across a computer screen. So they really didn't get those supports. So if you'd already been struggling, maybe with anxiety, maybe with an eating disorder, maybe with low mood, then those problems were hugely exacerbated. So the thought of going back to school also was just, no, it was just all too much. It was huge levels of overwhelm, I think. That seems to be a good word to describe. They became very overwhelmed. And then they didn't really know how to mix with peers, because sure, you'd been in your bedroom.
Right.
I mean, I think we all really felt sorry for those first year college university students who were so looking forward to that. Yay, this is going to be a great year. Oh, gosh, I get huge empathy for them. And then all their lecturers were sitting on their bed and no socializing.
Yeah.
So, probably rambling a little bit now, but yes, COVID lockdown, it's not that it was the complete, but it certainly, it brought a lot of things to the fore, you know.
Absolutely. I think it did more than just that age group too. I think you see it in a lot of people who would have been flying it socially before, and then it just, whatever happened. Yes.
Whatever happened, it really, and that is why, I mean, that we, I think it is commonly accepted now that yes, the COVID pandemic is gone, but there is an anxiety pandemic,
yeah,
for sure, you know, and I think that's just going to take, you know, longer than maybe we would have thought. And it's just, think again, it probably was under, it wasn't the focus. The focus was on the physical, keep everybody safe. But gosh, I remember there were times as a psychologist during it, I would be thinking, I think there's going to be a massive fallout from this. It's just human nature.
Yeah.
And when you get into bad habits, which we all did, and you don't have to get up every morning and you lose that sense of purpose and routine, it's really hard to kind of kick back into it.
Absolutely.
And if you're a young person, and you're in a home perhaps where there's a lot of, even just as we said, stressors or conflict,
right,
it's going to be even harder for you to motivate and to come back. So it's, very really difficult time for people. But yeah, that's school avoidance. And equally, I suppose I should say, for there are, school avoidance is very common amongst people who are autistic or neurodivergent. Largely because the school system is quite narrow and it just can't, it's you're just, the fit isn't there. They, you know, their needs outweigh what the school, and it's no reflection on any school, but they're just not able to kind of, I suppose, support those needs. So there is that cohort of people who would always have been there anyway,
right,
but that's, you know, yeah, that's, school avoidance is a, literally nearly goes hand in hand, unfortunately, for somebody who is, you know, autistic. It's just a hard place to go to if social communication is your battle and loud noises are difficult.
Yeah.
I mean, a school, it is literally, it's just a mass of people running around, going to lockers, bells ringing. It's too hard for a lot of young people who have that diagnosis.
Of course. And I guess, so obviously post-pandemic, but when did you start to notice in your role school avoidance becoming a more prevalent issue?
I remember we were looking at it in 2021, so wasn't that the second year of it? Definitely, Stephanie, that is when we noticed maybe the occupational therapists or the social workers in the local kind, you know, teams, child and adolescent teams, we were having a lot more calls from them, a lot more requests for appointments, working with Stephanie. And actually, Stephanie is just not coping. Stephanie's not going back to school. What can you offer? So that's, yeah, I would say the second year, I'd say 2021, it was a significant increase. And equally, that is what the child and adolescent services themselves were saying. They were also completely, they just couldn't meet the demand. So hence the long waiting list, which everybody talks about. And it is a real problem. It grew exponentially for them. Parents ringing them up saying, my young person won't get out of bed. I don't know what to do. You know, so yeah, definitely. I'd say 21.
Oh, wow. Okay. So nearly straight away, kind of. What are some tips for both students and their parents or guardians or, you know, people in their family who care to try to help them move through this to combat school avoidance?
I know. Oh, my gosh. And Stephanie, when I read that question, I just thought, this is what I want to have an answer for all the time.
I know.
And I recently gave a talk last year in a library in my local area, and parents from the three local secondary schools have come. It was targeted to people who were, you know, school avoiding, their young people school avoiding. And that was what I left with. I remember parents, and they were, you literally could see the stress on their face, and they just wanted answers. Now I can suggest some strategies or some, you know, resources, but I knew I wasn't giving them what they actually really wanted or needed, because it's such a grey area. But yeah, there's so many. Yeah. So yes, there are so many people out there who, look, there are a few, any parent can you know, to listen. It sounds very basic and really kind of really, I do that anyway. But as a parent myself, I know I don't always, but that is actually that they to listen and to empathize, right. I suppose, is the starting point, because the young person 9 out of 10 times is not choosing this. It is not laziness. It's not just because I want to game in my bedroom. They are struggling. A lot of the time they don't even know why. Mm-hmm. Maybe they're undiagnosed with something, with a developmental difficulty, or so they're struggling themselves. They're probably feeling a lot of shame around it. So the starting point, I think, for a parent is to listen and empathize, because I suppose it's what's causing the school avoidance is the important bit to get you. Now, right. That's easier said than done, because as we know, young people and teenagers don't really, they tend to be, I think of my own daughters, they're kind of allergic to that kind of conversation, yeah. To talk about emotions and feelings. But if at all you could get to that, you know, to try and just see, because is it that actually you're being bullied, mm-hmm. By somebody in your class, or is it that actually you're struggling academically and you're embarrassed and you don't know how to ask for help, and maybe you need some more supports, right. Resource wise, or is it that there is significant social anxiety? Maybe you're maybe there's autism, but that hasn't been identified or diagnosed. So there's so many reasons, and they will all, I suppose, the way to help the person does differ depending on what is the overriding factor. So the first thing is a conversation, you know, to try and just say, I want to help. I see that you're finding this hard. And the biggest thing, I suppose, that I would also advocate is that we don't let it grow. Mm-hmm. So anxiety, what does anxiety love? Our young students are always saying, oh, I know what you're going to say, Jane. It loves avoidance. That's what we do. It's oh, great. It's really scary. I'm just not going to go in there today. I'll go in there tomorrow.
Right.
And then all that happens is that anxiety, unfortunately, is growing and growing and growing. Mm-hmm. It's like a bar of soap, as they often describe it. It's just going to, it's going to stay the same, or it's going to get bigger unless you try and challenge yourself. So I think what a lot of parents, and I can totally see how this happens, you're looking at your young person, they're really distressed maybe. So you don't want them upset. No parent wants their child upset. So it's okay, look, stay at home if that's what you feel you need. But unfortunately, it's actually really exacerbating the problem.
Right.
It's that whole, you have to expose yourself a little bit to it. But it would be important, I think, obviously, the parent needs to link in with the school and maybe identify, maybe there's a really nice chaplaincy team in the school. I know in my daughter's school, there's a lovely team there that we know as parents. We could contact them at any point and say, look, my daughter is struggling. Could you meet her tomorrow? And maybe, because again, sometimes young people will talk to, they'll find it easier to talk to somebody outside, mm-hmm. of their family and not the parent. But it's to address it, Stephanie. It's to, and also to absolutely, to be fully sure that to not try to address it soon I don't want to be scaremongering any, but it is, you're only setting yourself up for disaster. It's something that needs to be addressed quite quickly, really. And it can be done in a lovely, you know, it's sensitive, nurturing way, but it's, you know, that's, I suppose we go back to lockdown. When you were at home for 6 months, what happened then? That only exacerbated things. So try and talk to the school. And if you've done all of that and it's not working, I would then say the GP.
Okay.
I suppose GP is our first, you know, because perhaps the mood is so low that they actually just cannot get out of bed. Right. And no matter how much rationalizing you do, what might need to happen is maybe, I mean, medication plays a role, absolutely, for some people. So maybe something is needed to lift the mood a little to then help the motivation. And then you could build maybe on the why. So the GP will then also know if it goes beyond their remit, and maybe they need a referral to a bigger team. Right. Or to a private psychology. So there is lots that parents can do, even though I know as a parent you feel kind of helpless, but you know they can. It's that love, it's that unconditional love and listening, and just saying, I know, and also I suppose saying to them, I don't have the answers right now, but I'm going to do whatever you need me to do, or we'll figure it out together.
Absolutely.
I think that's always a nice line, you know, and then they're probably feeling quite alone anyway. So, you know, that's always comforting to hear.
Absolutely. And so now we'll round it out. What makes NLN a great option for those who are experiencing school avoidance?
Oh, yes. Thank God for NLN. It is. Because, Stephanie, it is, you know, it is that, it's the holistic view. It looks at the person in a whole way. So we're going to look after that young person on all aspects of their life, which is what, unfortunately, they can't do in school. So, you know, it's smaller classes. So already for some people, that actually is the only reason they're not going to school is right. Because it's just too big. So we generally, gosh, it's never more than I'd say 12 in a group. We allow for a flexible, I suppose it's flexible, it's adult learning for a lot of young people. For example, actually, I was in a group in one of my classes, in one of our groups 2 weeks ago, and one of the students said that what they're enjoying most about NLN is that for the very first time they feel heard. So they have been in a mainstream school and they're not actually criticizing the school, but right. They were invisible and they were kind of seen as a troublemaker. And then they stopped going to school and then nobody really tried. But right. Actually, the reason they're thriving, I suppose, with us is because they do have sensory processing needs and they do need a more, a gentler environment, a quieter environment. Mm-hmm. So we're flexible. We work in a trauma-informed way. So for anybody crossing into our doorstep, you know, we know a lot of our students are carrying huge, maybe there's abuse, maybe there's huge significant school bullying, maybe there's really dysfunctional home life, and nobody's going to go to school and get an education if that is unaddressed. Right. So we can look after that. We have, you know, people come in and they have different goals. So for some people coming into us, it is all about their certification and they want their level 5 and they want to progress to college. And we can accommodate that. But equally, I've had a student who's come in and his sole goal is to make a friend.
Right.
And if he said that in school, you know, should the school teacher understandably would be, well, I don't really know where to start with that because we just do the education bit. So that is what's important to him. So we've had, I've countless examples, Stephanie, which is great, of students who have come, who've been at home for a couple of years, and they've now left us and they've progressed to a PLC college.
Amazing.
Now, it hasn't been easy. You see, this is the thing, it is a journey, and that's maybe taken 2 or 3 years. It's also taken that young person starting off with maybe coming in 2 hours a day. I remember clearly a young girl who started, and all she could manage was 1 hour in the classroom. And now she has gone on to, she's studying early childcare education in our local PLC college.
Great.
So that, but she never would have believed that was possible. And for her, it was about trying to understand, again, with the anxiety, you can't avoid it. What can you manage? Okay, and she might have said, I can manage 10 minutes. And then I might have said, no, let's do 40. And so we were all, there's a phrase called nag and nurture. And it is a little bit, it's that whole, I'm going to push you, but you're going to be in a really safe, you know, space where you can come and talk to me then. And we can look at what went wrong or what maybe extra supports you need. So we also, I suppose, when a student comes to us, they leave with it, you know, they leave with a great plan, you know, so we're going to help them figure out what they want to do career wise. If they want a job, if they want further education, they can get to meet a psychologist. We also have rehabilitation officers. They're you know, all the acronyms we have. So that's our RO, and the RO would work with the student. They're like the student advocate. They're fabulous. They might help our young people get on housing lists, right. You know, apply for a disability allowance. Just there. And then we have resource teachers. I suppose it's that multidisciplinary team, Stephanie, that again, I think anybody who's experiencing school avoidance, they possibly need all of those, you know, different, I suppose, skill sets working together. And we have the time, you know, students can work. The biggest thing we can say to students is there are no exams. And often the look of relief when they're sitting in front of you and they hear that is fantastic. So it's that continuous assessment which really helps with somebody who's been school avoiding, because it's not so scary. Right. I think that's God, I hope I'm giving it enough. But I think that's what NLN does. Yeah,
I suppose, like, and just to go off of you, I suppose it's very individualized. So if you are having an issue in one area but not the other, an issue like issues across the board, there's something there for you to help every day.
Absolutely. Yeah. And that's again, you know, and that's what parents would have said to us sometimes when their young person has finished. They'd say, you know what, he was never able to get the bus. I was driving him everywhere because he was so anxious. That actually is their biggest sense of celebration, apart from the certificate, you know, that the young person has got. It's that, I suppose, every parent, that's all you want, is that their young person can have a friend, make friends, socialize a little bit and be happy. So that's, I suppose, that's the biggest thing, that we have space and time to do an NLN, I think, Stephanie. That's
absolutely
we do feel privileged to be able to do that, because again, if you rush it, so if you say to somebody, you're just gonna have to go into that class, you just have to go in there now and sit from 9 to 3,
right?
Sure, it's just complete. Well, no, I'm going to do the opposite now, actually. That's too pressurizing. So you're trying to get the balance between, as I say, the nag and nurture. You're challenging, but you're supporting. And we just have fabulous teams. Fabulous staff teams. And I suppose we believe in, I think it's our ethos as well at NLN. We really believe in what we do. We really, you know, we believe that there are people out there who need a different experience than a standard traditional education. So, and yeah, it's definitely working. I can attest to that. It's always lovely to go to those graduation nights that we have. It's actually just like, you know, and then you just see the person at the end of their journey and how happy they are, and their mental health hopefully has improved and they've more friends. And And equally, maybe like that girl, they're going to head off to college and study what they always wanted to do. Yeah. Holistic. That's the word, I think. I know it's like a broken record, but that actually is the word that sums it up.
NLN centers across the country have the same resources available to its students. It can be a fantastic option for those who feel that an alternative to reach their academic or professional goals is the right fit for them. However, it is appreciated that taking a step like contacting your local NLN center or attending a trial period of a course can be challenging, which is why we have been so grateful that NLN student Michael was willing to share his experience with me and offer some advice to those who are considering NLN. Can you tell me a little bit about yourself? Just introduce yourself, where you're from, what secondary school you went to.
So, hi everyone. So, my name is Michael. I'm 18 years old and I'm from Waterford. I went to De La Salle College, so that's a secondary school for boys with over 1,000 students and 90 teachers in Waterford, and I stayed there until fifth year. I did complete my junior cycle, but it was cancelled my year because of COVID.
So tell me a bit about your experience when you attended school.
Okay, so when I was at school, I think it's fair to say that I struggled really badly. I was diagnosed with autism spectrum disorder during COVID, and I also developed anxiety surrounding school, which made it challenging to attend classes. I also found that when I transitioned into the leave and cert cycle, I skipped transition year and I was separated from my classmates. I didn't know anyone in my classmates, and I always felt lonely and isolated. Sensory issues also had an impact on school, as I'd get overwhelmed and overstimulated, often when in class, and I found that it made it very tough to focus. My teachers were supportive and tried to assist as much as they could, but I think it was the entire school environment as a whole that made it hard.
So what brought you to NLN?
I decided to try to join NLN in February 2023, as I realised school was not for me. I left school the previous month with no junior cert, cancelled due to COVID and leaving cert, as well as no job. I didn't see any future and I didn't know what to do. I initially joined NLN on sample for 1 week, and I found it a supportive and enjoyable place of learning. I also loved the coursework as it was well-structured and included significant practical learning along with theory, which made me feel that this course was more relevant and worthwhile than the Leaving Certificate, as well as being an equivalent qualification.
And how were you feeling when you were first thinking about attending NLN?
So when I was first thinking about NLN, I did actually just like feel lost. And it was a family friend who told us about the National Learning Network. So then we went for an interview and it kind of felt very informative. And it felt like there was actually a solution there rather than not knowing what to do, that there is other options other than go to work or go to school. There's more options than that.
Absolutely. That's great. And so how long have you been attending NLN?
So I've been attending NLN for well over a year and a half now, which includes 3 days in the training centre as well as 2 days in work experience, which for me is at Mr. Price branded bargains. In my opinion, it is great to have a blend of in-centre training as well as on-the-job work experience, as both the two environments completely different to each other. My supervisor in work experience, as well as my colleagues, are super supportive of me, and I now work behind the cash registers, which gives me the opportunity to talk to customers and develop better communication and social skills. When I'm in the centre, I focus on completing QQI modules that lead to a major award, which vary from levels 2 to 5 on the national framework of qualifications, depending on your course. The work is continuous assessment based, which better suits my learning than an end of year exam.
That's fantastic. And it is, like you say, great to get the theory and the hands-on experience. Yeah. So what's the actual name of the course that you're doing?
So I'm currently on the Retail Sales and Reception Skills course, which is a QQI level 4, so the Leaving Cert equivalent. As I said earlier, it includes work experience in a retail environment. It also consists of 9 modules, some of which are very interesting and enjoyable. Others can be more challenging, but there is plenty of support if you are struggling. I have received my major award for completing all of the modules with 9 distinctions. And a number of NLN courses also offer ICDL, so International Computer Driver's License, which accredit you certificates in valuable computer skills such as word processing, spreadsheets, and presentations, all achieved through self-directed learning.
Well, that's fantastic. And obviously, you're talking a lot about the different modules that are offered and the different skills that are offered. So overall, how are you finding your time in your course?
I really enjoy my time on the course, especially socializing with my friends and engaging in activities outside the classroom, like cinema trips, gym, going to Costa, doing Kahoot, and watching a movie, and also taking part in events for Autism Acceptance Day, Pride Day, and more. In the classroom, I also find the course load manageable and well-structured, as we complete a lot of our assignments as portfolios, a collection of work based on a topic which contribute to our grade in each module. And instructors and other staff, such as the RO and resource teacher, also provide supports to help you both academically and personally, and they include monthly and quarterly reviews, as well as individualized plans of action.
That's great. So you talked about the social aspect, you talked about the resources that are available. So can you tell me a bit about the culture at your NLN Center as a whole?
So I think that the culture at my NLN Center, and one of the ways that NLN is so different to other educational centers, is that every program or course is a person-based, work at your own pace, and does not put pressure on students to complete every assignment on time. And I think the culture is also that NLN is very inclusive to everyone, especially those with disabilities or illnesses, which some other places may not be as inclusive. And they appreciate that everyone has different abilities and talents and will encourage you to find and embrace what you are good at.
Absolutely. So what has surprised you about yourself since starting your course?
One way I've really surprised myself since starting in the NLN is how much I've improved socially. This time last year, I was still very shy, closed off, and I didn't know how to hold a conversation properly or how to make new friends and meet new people. Now I'm able to talk to new people with confidence and ease, which I credit to both NLN and Mr. Price, as they both have given me the opportunity to socialize and develop these invaluable skills. I've also developed an interest in computers, specifically Excel, which will help me as I walk through an online accounting and bookkeeping course I'm doing in my spare time.
That's fantastic. So what has NLN meant to you?
I think that my course and NLN have helped me so much in improving myself both academically and professionally, giving me new career options and opening further education doors I've never considered or had before. It's also helped me understand autism and other disabilities and helped me in learning new personal skills surrounding my own emotions and mental health in general. The CARA autism supports also proved beneficial for me, as they teach invaluable life skills such as cooking, ordering food in a restaurant, and paying for items you buy. They primarily support those on the autism spectrum and host social groups both inside and outside the centre.
That's fantastic. And so, what is next for you?
What's next for me is that I'm keeping my options open with employment and I'm hoping to progress to further education, especially to an accountancy or business related course, as those would be my top preferences for a future career. Over the next few months, I'm going to keep progressing through my online course over my spare time. And since I'm finished my coursework, it will give me plenty of time to attend CARA social groups, as well as engage with our new CARA coordinator to learn and help with the day-to-day challenges of autism, as well as learning sensory regulation, which is something I still struggle with.
So would you have any advice for anyone who's thinking about attending an NLN center near them?
So I'd like to just say that I think the most important thing I can say to anyone considering joining NLN or listening to this today is that you just have to believe in yourself to be successful, and that nothing that you can't overcome is in the way of you achieving your goals.
Absolutely. I think that's an incredible piece of advice, and I think it's one of the most important ones. An incredibly special thank you to Michael for sharing his journey and to Jane for sharing the wonderful resources NLN centers across Ireland have to offer, as well as sharing with us the pressing issue of school avoidance. As we heard, school avoidance is on the rise, but NLN can be a great option for those who struggle with traditional schooling or those who have left school and would like to continue their educational and training pathway. If you believe that you or a loved one could benefit from NLN's personalized support and holistic approach to learning, you can find more information about your local center, contact details, and courses offered at nln.ie. As always, if you enjoyed this episode, please share with your family and friends. And until next time, mind yourselves and be sure to always think possible.